So 2 weeks ago, we started a new series. We're going to walk through Proverbs, but not every little topic, but all the major topics. So the first topic, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Last week, we started looking at the importance of acquiring wisdom and understanding from God's Word. But it's so big that it's going to take us 2 weeks. But before we carry on, I'll just give you some of the topics we're going to be looking at. So we're going to be looking at the tongue. A lot of scriptures on the tongue in Proverbs. We're going to be looking at God's sovereignty and God's power. A lot in Proverbs about that. The importance of trusting only the Lord. Of walking uprightly. The book has a lot to say about friendships and separation from the world. It has a lot to say about money, finances, and our business dealings. A lot to say about the family and also about protecting our hearts. So those are some of the topics we're going to be looking at from Proverbs, because there's really, you can't find a better book to learn wisdom from than the Book of Wisdom. Now, as far as our outline, what we've looked at so far, we started there in chapter 1 and looked at the breakdown of wisdom. Remember, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4 are all basically about how important it is that we get wisdom. And then chapter 8 is the personification of wisdom. So far, we saw there in verse 5 that we're to heed wise counsels. In verse 7, we saw the folly of rejecting or despising God's wisdom. Verse 8, we saw the importance of listening to our parents. And then verses 20 to 22, the solution to being simple, not in a medical way, but in a wisdom way, is to acquire wisdom from God's Word. And then in verse 23, we started looking at reproof, that one of the great ways to learn more wisdom is to be willing to accept reproof when it's given, either from God's Word through the Holy Spirit or even from God's people, which we are commanded to help each other in that way. And so they're here in chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. It starts with the negative of what happens when you reject God's reproof. And then we'll look at the other side of it, which is the positives of accepting reproof. It's all about our hearts, whether or not we're willing to listen when we get reproved. And we're always going to get reproved by God's Word and sometimes, again, by God's children. So notice verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So in both cases, reproof and rebuke are taking place. But whether or not you're a scorner or a fool, or whether or not you're a wise person, determines how you're going to accept it. And this is very important. So last week we looked at the folly of rejecting reproof or rebuke. This morning we're going to look at the positives of accepting reproof or rebuke. So let's look at some of these. So we'll start in chapter 13, verse 18, Brother Scott, and we'll just see the blessings. This is very important if we're going to learn wisdom, if we're going to grow in our understanding of God's Word, that we accept it when we get reproved or rebuked by God's Word or even by others. So let's pray, and then Brother Scott, you can read that. Lord, give us wisdom as we study wisdom. We're so blessed to be able to open this book together and glean from it, Lord. And I pray it would be our heart's desire to continue to learn and learn from you. So guide us in your truth, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So 13:18.
Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored.
So notice the contrast there. Either regarding reproof or refusing instruction. All right, we'll move on. Chapter 15, verse 5. It says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So again, the contrast, whether or not we despise it or we regard the reproof. All right, chapter 15, verse 31. Brad, could you read that for us, please?
And he that heareth the reproof of Lot abideth among the wise.
Again, he that heareth the reproof of the wise. And then the next verse, Brad, 32.
He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof giveth understanding.
So our outline from chapter 1, we're looking at the reproof part of getting wisdom. And that is part of learning, isn't it? I mean, we correct our children all the time as they're growing up, don't we? We're always saying, no, that's wrong, that's right, and we're correcting them. Well, we're children of the Lord, and we constantly need corrected as well. And God uses the Holy Spirit through His Word when we study it, when we read it, when we hear it taught, when we hear it preached. The Holy Spirit reproves or rebukes us. Then it's up to us to choose, how am I going to accept it? Or am I going to reject it? And that will determine whether or not we grow and learn or go the other way. So let's look at some more. 17:10. Jackie, could you read that for us?
A reproof entereth more into a wise man than a hundred stripes into a fool.
How about that? 100 stripes into a fool versus a reproof to a wise man. A wise man's going to listen to the reproof. Kelvin, 19:25, if you would read that for us.
Smartest walnut and the simple will beware, and the brilliant one that hath understanding, and he will understand his knowledge.
So as you can see, Proverbs has a lot to say about reproof and rebuke, doesn't it? As part of gaining God's wisdom. Let's carry on, 25:12. Any other volunteers over here to read? Maggie, thank you, 25:12. So there we go, a wise reprover to an obedient ear. All right, moving on, 27, 5 and 6. Any more volunteers over here? 27, 5 and 6 in the whole room. Roy, thank you. 27, 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And look at that, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Remember, God wrote this book, and God knows us. And then 28:23, we'll finish there with this part of our wisdom outline. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. So part of gaining wisdom is being willing to accept reproof when it's given, either by the Lord or by others. So God wants us to be constantly gaining wisdom. And again, part of that process, as we've seen, we need to be in the Word of God, which is the only source of true wisdom. We need to accept counsel. We need to listen to our parents. It's the victory over being simple, and we need to accept reproof. So let's go back to chapter 1 now, verse 30, and continue our outline here on wisdom. And the next aspect of receiving wisdom from the Lord is that, again, when God gives an opportunity for us to get wisdom, we must not reject it. We must accept it. Otherwise, as we're going to see, that we will reap what we sow. So notice verses 30 and 31. Mark, could you read those for us, please? Chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. So what God is saying here is if we choose to not gain wisdom, so this is kind of the other side of the coin, we are going to reap what we sow. And it's going to affect our whole life. And Proverbs has a lot to say about this. So let's look at some scriptures about how we reap what we sow if we choose to reject wisdom or not be seeking wisdom. So Brother Scott will start at 5:22, and we'll see that God has a lot to say about this as well.
To learn iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cause of his sins.
Amen. And now 11:5. Roy, if you could read 11:5. You see, God is teaching us this reap-sow principle that we also know in Galatians chapter 6. The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. So if we don't continue to gain wisdom, we're going to reap what we sow. And that's what he's saying here, that they would none of my counsel, and therefore they will eat the fruit of their own ways. So if we have to be constantly growing and gaining understanding and wisdom from God's word. Okay, 14:14. Who over here is willing to read that? Brad, thank you. 14:14, please.
The backslider and harsh shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied with himself.
So there we go. The backslider and heart should be filled with his own ways. 21:12. Anybody over here? Volunteers, Jackie? God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. You reap what you sow. So if we choose to reject wisdom, notice 22:8.
He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, in the wrath of his anger shall pay.
So notice again, if you sow, you reap. You reap what you sow. And then lastly, 26:27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Remember, God is sovereign. And if we're not seeking wisdom, if instead we're rejecting God's wisdom, we're going to reap what we sow. And that is another principle about wisdom from the book of Proverbs. So that takes us through chapter 1. Now let's go to chapter 2, look at another aspect of wisdom. And that is the positive side, that if we will continue to seek God's wisdom and God's understanding from God's word, God will give us discretion. Another word for discretion in Proverbs is the word prudence. So what do those two words mean? Prudence and discretion. Anybody? We're in verses 10 and 11, by the way, of chapter 2. Prudence and discretion. Those are things that we will gain and grow in if we continue to glean wisdom from God's word. But what do the words mean? Any thoughts? Doug?
Like discernment.
Pardon?
Discernment.
Yes, discernment is a lot like discretion and prudence. Exactly. Anything else? Well, let's look at what the Bible says about it. So, first of all, chapter 2, 10 and 11. Brother Scott, could you read those? This is the next part of our wisdom outline.
When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee.
Look what discretion will do for you. Preserve thee and help keep thee. But only when wisdom... We only know the true source. We know the true source of wisdom is God's word. Only when it enters into thine heart. So the promise of wisdom here, and after this, we're going to look at all the blessings of gaining wisdom, is that we will grow in our discretion and in our prudence. And so let's see what the Bible has to say about it. 3:21. Mark, could you read that for us?
My son.
Amen. 5:2, Roy. Amen. 14:8, over here, Jackie, could you read that for us? And 14:15, Brad. So you're starting to see the definition of prudence now? It actually protects us, doesn't it, from making unwise decisions. We will grow in our prudence and our discretion as we continue to glean wisdom from God's word. 22:3 is another one. Let's turn there. Did you have your hand up, Mark?
Yeah, I was just saying, it's like being aware of things.
Exactly.
It's like being aware of what's going on.
Makes us more aware of evil and the attacks of the devil. Yeah, which we're commanded to be as Christians. So 22:3, notice it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Look at the next part of the verse. But the simple pass on and are punished. Remember, one part of the outline was, it will give us victory over being simple. God says the simple just ignore it and just pass on and end up paying the price for it. The prudent see it and hide from it. We're talking about evil here. So we will grow in our discretion and our prudence. Yes, Feely. That's right. That's right. And God says in Hebrews 5 that as we mature in His Word, right, that we will grow in our discernment, to discern both good and evil, Hebrews 5:14. So that's a blessing. But let's look at all the blessings now, all kind of grouped together, and then we'll be done with this part of our Proverbs study. And that is, if we choose to continue to glean wisdom from God's Word, glean understanding from God's Word, if we're willing to be open to rebuke from God, will we reap blessings? And the answer is absolutely yes. And there are so many blessings promised upon those who will gain wisdom from God's Word. So let's look at them. Brother Scott, chapter 2, if you could read 12, 16, and 20. And 16.
To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which threateneth with her word.
And then 20.
That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of the righteous.
Now this whole section is about wisdom. And it's a promise to those who will continue to gain wisdom. It will what? Deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Deliver thee from the strange woman. And help you to keep the paths of the righteous. So getting wisdom from God's word, powerful thing, isn't it? But sometimes Christians, they stop gaining wisdom because they think they've learned it all. And that's a very dangerous place to be. Let's look at some more promises. Chapter 3. Remember, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 are primarily about wisdom. Also, chapter 8 is the personification of wisdom. But notice chapter 3. I don't want to read the whole passage. It's quite long. Well, just verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Well, the world's looking for happiness. God says one true source of happiness is finding wisdom. Well, that makes sense since God made us and God wrote His word for us, that if we will find wisdom, we'll find happiness. Amazing. Brother Mark?
The sign is, I'm just saying, like society, like people look around and see that evil what the government's doing, and that's what's up there. We're aware of that. We're not happy about that. But the ignorant, that blissfully going along, happy, thinking everything's going to be fine.
That's another way of looking at it, for sure. But happiness, of course, is something that is in our soul. And God promises that we will find true happiness. One of the ways is finding wisdom. Let's move on. 23 and 24 of chapter 3. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Isn't that beautiful? These are promises to those who will continue to gain wisdom and understanding from God's word. Thy sleep shall be sweet. You won't be afraid. Your foot won't stumble. It's quite amazing, these beautiful blessings and promises. All right, let's move on to chapter 4. There's some more. Look at verse 5 of chapter 4. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So again, God is personifying wisdom as a her. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Look at all these promises to those who will get wisdom. Verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Remember, the she is the wisdom. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. These are promises to those who will gain wisdom from God's word. The blessings are abundant to those who will gain wisdom. And then chapter 8, let's go there. Now, chapter 8 is where God again personifies wisdom as a her. And, well, the whole chapter, basically, we won't go through the whole chapter, but the whole chapter is about all the blessings of seeking wisdom. So we'll just look at a few. Verse 18, and when I say personification, I mean now it doesn't say her, it says me. So remember, the me is wisdom in this chapter. So notice verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. So what, you know, we know what he means by durable riches, right? Riches in heaven, riches that will last. He says they're with me. My fruit, verse 19, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So contrasting the world's goods, the world's money. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So God is describing wisdom as if it's a person. But remember, wisdom is from God. Verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So, look at verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, remember, me is wisdom, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So basically, five chapters of the 31 chapters of Proverbs are about the importance of acquiring wisdom from the day we get saved until the day we die or leave this earth, and all that we will reap if we will do so, all these blessings, and all that we will reap if we don't do so, all these cursings. So the acquisition of wisdom is the number one topic of the book of Proverbs, which we just looked at. And we used God's outline there in chapters 1 and 2. So thoughts or questions about that? Like I said, we're going to be looking at the major topics, family, money, protecting the heart, friendship, the tongue, walking uprightly, God's sovereignty. These are the big topics of Proverbs that we're going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks. But any thoughts or questions about this all-important topic of wisdom? And no, Roy, you didn't get away with it. We're going to sing it in church. Anybody? Thoughts or questions? So the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. We must have an awe for God. We must fear God and have a reverence for Him if we're going to learn. And then God commands us to keep learning, to keep coming to His Word and gleaning wisdom and understanding. And if we will do those things, we'll be blessed. Thoughts or questions? Now's your chance. Rachel.
Just a blessing as a Christian to know that 100% you can rely on God's Word, and that is, I know the government says that they're the ones with the truth, but we obviously know that that's false, and just as Christians that every aspect of our life that we can go to God's Word and find the answer was just huge, because today, who can you trust?
Amen. God's Word is 100% trustworthy. Anyone else? So, to bring it to a practical level, that means we should be doing what every day?
Praying and believing in God.
Definitely praying, amen, and believing in God. But relative to wisdom, what should we be doing every day? Amen? There's no excuse for not doing it. This is our food. And as newborn babes, we are to desire it. This sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow. So we need to be reading it daily. You know, when you think about your devotions time, your prayer time, don't let it devolve, if you will, into just reading a list to God. Some Christians allow that to happen. It's supposed to be a conversation. Amen? And that, if it's a conversation, it means not one person should be doing all the talking. But that's how a lot of Christians treat their devotions. All they do is just ask God for a bunch of things and then they're done. Well, why don't you give God an opportunity to speak in the conversation? Amen? And this is how He speaks to us. So we need to spend just as much time in here allowing God to speak to us as we spend talking to Him and asking for things, which He wants us to do. Don't misunderstand me. But we need to be listening too. And this is where He speaks to us. So make sure you have that balance so you can continue to grow and learn from God and not just talk to God, but let Him talk to you. Thoughts or questions before we close in prayer?